Well, now we want to meet a man who knows all about fishing and whaling, and he rarely gets into a boat, and that is because he is talking about fishing with a PH, although whaling is spelt exactly the same way. It's Detective Chief Superintendent Pat Lorden, who's the head of the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Pat. Thank you for having me.
First of all, do you have a big unit in the Garda? Because I suspect that online fraud is getting bigger and bigger.
It's growing dramatically. Our unit had obviously depleted a little bit over the recession years, and we've just started to get new people in the last 12 months, and we'll continue to get new people into the Bureau over the next 12 months.
Now, do you recruit from scratch, or do you look out for likely people in the ranks who've gone through Temple Moor and then who are trained up?
We look for people from within the ranks. So all of our detectives would come in from the frontline policing. And they would be people with an aptitude for fraud investigation. They would have shown it outside in the districts, in the divisions throughout the city in particular.
All right. So they're used to dealing with ne'er-do-wells. These guys, I mean, they could be in Latvia or Lithuania or Moscow or Panama, for all we know.
Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of our fraud attempts and fraud, the successful frauds we have, are committed by people who are not even in this jurisdiction, who've never set foot in this jurisdiction. Although I would say that some of them are here and some of them are living here.
Now, let's talk about fishing with the PH, first of all. What is that?
Fishing really is fishing for information about you. So what the criminal will do is they'll literally go fishing for information. And information in today's world is more valuable to them than money, because if they can fish your website, if they can fish your email and get you to send them some information, be it your credit card details, the code on the back of your credit card details, your date of birth, they then can go and do what we call card not present fraud anywhere in the world where they don't use chip and pen.
So often we are asked to give our credit card details to a website. Say you're buying an airline ticket and you may be asked to give all the details. So that's there. But you're reassured by the little lock in the corner of the screen. You're supposed to be reassured. Is that reassuring?
It's not fully reassuring. And lots of people, including myself last night, I was online looking at an airline company. And all of a sudden I realised I was not in the airline company. I was in another company that popped up first as, for example, Air Canada. And all of a sudden it says go to the real website. So there was nothing illegal or wrong with this website. But I thought I was in the Air Canada website, yeah. And I actually wasn't. So yes, the lock, the S at the end of the corners, you say, provides you with a certain amount of security. But the big problem really is that the criminals are becoming so technical and so experienced, they're able to clone that and cloak it as well.
So am I better off paying everything with PayPal, for example? Then they just ask you, and PayPal, you've given them the details, so you authorise PayPal to pay them, and then you pay PayPal through your standing order situation.
I don't want to promote any one method of payment, and I don't want to give the message here today not to pay online. I pay a lot online. We all pay online, and that's the way
we've got it. I would buy airline tickets routinely online.
Absolutely. The thing is, be careful how you're doing it. So if you're going to buy a pair of shoes today when you finish the show, you'll go to a reputable shop, you'll pay over your money, and you're happy enough it's reputable. But if I said to you, there's a guy selling shoes in the back laneway here, and they're out of the back of a van, and you give them your credit card details, would you give him your credit card details? And that's what you're doing on the internet. If you don't research the person you're dealing with or the website you're dealing with, you are dealing with that guy in the back lane, out of the boot of a car. In most cases, you don't know where the product is coming from and you don't know where your details are going to end up.
Now, even if you're not on social media, it's possible to find out a lot of stuff about any third party.
Absolutely. As I said to you before we came on air, I Googled you this morning for 5 minutes and I found out a lot about you.
Where I went to school, all that.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Your family, their names, where you've been socialising for the last couple of months, and you're not even on social media. But if you look at Wikipedia for most of us, there's quite a lot about us there. And then maybe you're not on social media, but your kids might be, your wife might be, your friends might be, and they'll put up things like, Pat's going on holiday skiing. And all of a sudden, they know that you're not going to be in News Talk for the next week. And if they want something then from News Talk, they'll scam an email with your name on it to News Talk. And all of a sudden, there's money gone out of an account that you wanted to pay for something here in the office.
Okay, so it's as simple as that. But can you, by sheer vigilance, protect yourself? Or is the nature of the scam, it's so good that even the best people will be scammed?
Well, I suppose if we look at the scams on the emails, we get them, we all get them. And automatically, don't open it. Don't open the attachment. The fact that you get the email won't do you any harm, but don't open the attachment. Because if you open the attachment, the malware or the details get onto your computer and they can, they're then in your computer technically. Now, the other ones where you're getting a refund of maybe money from social welfare, maybe the bank have a problem with your account. The banks and revenue, or the Gardaí for that matter, will never ask you to give your details online. They'll never do that.
They never do it. So it is a scam if you get such a request.
Absolutely. And the banks will never ring you either for you to give them details over the phone.
Now, what's whaling?
Whaling is for the bigger fish. Yeah. Whaling is for the CEO of a big company or the chief financial officer of a company. So really, it's the same job, only they're going after the bigger fish. And what they do is it works very well in business email compromise. So they look on the internet and they see that the CEO of a big company has gone abroad for 2 weeks, maybe to Davos or wherever he's gone. Then they'll have a certain amount of research done on the company. And while he's away, they will try and commit what we call CEO fraud on that company. As a matter of urgency, an email will come into the company purporting to be from the CEO saying, I'm away skiing or on holidays at the moment. Please transfer 40,000, 50,000 or 5 million to this account as a matter of urgency. Has to be done by 5 o'clock this evening. We want to close the deal with this solicitor. They'll even go so far as saying, this is the number of the solicitor if you want to confirm it. And the poor finance person in the office is under pressure.
You can't contact your man.
Well, maybe they can't contact him or they're afraid to upset his holiday. Sometimes they'll do it.
So can you give us examples of some of these things that have happened in this jurisdiction?
Yes, we have an example and it's been made public by, I suppose, Meath County Council. They made a statement on the matter. They dealt with it very well just before Christmas. They had an incident where they lost a very substantial amount of money.
We're talking about millions.
Millions, absolutely millions, over 4 million euros. But what they did was they reported to the Gardaí in County Meath very quickly, who reported to us, and we were able to work with the banks and a foreign police force where we had a contact with. And we were able to secure that money within 24 hours of it leaving Ireland. And that's really the kernel of the whole situation here. If we're not told about it, or if your bank is not told about it, 24 hours later, that money is gone.
And that's the problem, that the money is transferred digitally. It just goes by message, really. There's no gold moving from place A to place B.
No.
And if it moves enough times, eventually you'll hit a wall. You won't be able to find it.
You will hit a wall. We had an incident just before Christmas again where 500,000 euros was taken out of an account in the same method. It was like an invoice redirect, which I'll come to in a few minutes. And within 24 hours, that money had dissipated into 9 or 10 different accounts, some in Ireland and some abroad.
And gone.
No, we had a bit of luck with that one. We recovered over half of it.
Over half, but half it's gone. So.
Half it's gone, absolutely.
Now, what about this invoice redirect? How does that
Invoice redirect is quite simple in its operation in that, for example, with Newstalk, you buy your water from a water company and every month you pay an invoice. So criminal figures out that you're buying your water from ABC Water Limited and they will send an email to you to Newstalk and say, this is Mary from ABC Water Limited. We're changing our bank account from bank in Grafton Street to a bank in Naas.
Yeah, and this, you've no reason to dispute it.
You've no reason to dispute it. You've no reason to question it. It's only maybe 5, 10, 20,000 euros every month and your finance office will change the details on the account or they might pick up the phone and ring the number at the top of the email, which will also be the criminal's number, and they'll change it on the system. When the next invoice comes in, it's paid to the criminal's account.
Right.
And so within 12 hours, it's gone out of that account.
And then they change. I mean, that's it. They get sums of money from individual customers, as where then they close the account, the money's gone, and they do it again in a different place.
Absolutely. Now, we have quite a lot of success with the accounts if they're in Ireland, obviously, because we can identify who opened the account, where they're living. But in some cases,
because you've got all this money laundering stuff now.
Absolutely. I'm also head of the financial intelligence unit and we get about 25,000 disclosures every year from the financial institutions throughout Ireland, credit unions, banks. We have a very good relationship with the banks and working on that relationship, we can freeze money very quickly. Yeah. We can freeze money under the money laundering legislation. Once we know it's been the proceeds of crime, we can freeze it immediately with a phone call.
There seems to be one piece of advice that's coming through very clearly, and that is, as soon as it's happened, report it to the Guard.
Absolutely. 3 years ago when I started at this, some companies were terrified to report it because of reputation damage. Is it somebody on the inside? They were trying to investigate it themselves. The minute you see this happening, pick up the phone, ring your bank and ring us. Ring your local Garda station and they will contact us. And we can work with the banks then to try and stop it. Sometimes the banks can stop it before it's gone out through the tubes on their network. But oftentimes, if it's gone out of their control, then it's up to us to try and get it back.
Now, it's one thing to get the money back, which is what anyone who's been robbed wants. But it's another thing to nail the guys who are behind it. How difficult is that now?
It's quite difficult, but we've had a lot of success in the last 12 months in particular. For example, we had a poor guy in Croatia talking about whaling and fishing. He had bought a €360,000 yacht in Croatia. And the criminals managed to divert the money to Ireland. As luck would have it, he got through to our office from Croatia and we froze the money immediately with the bank. But within 1 hour, the criminal gang were emailing my office because it didn't have police or guard on it. It had GNECB on it, on our email. And he said, by the way, please release the money. I've made a total mess up of this situation. So here you had the criminals emailing us. But as luck would have it, again, an investigation and some surveillance carried out by ourselves, we arrested the gentleman involved. And we recovered all of the money in that case.
Which is brilliant. You get the impression, though, that this is going to get worse before it gets better, that no matter how good we all are at being vigilant, that the criminals are one step ahead of us and the banks and everybody else.
Every country in the world, every state in the US is suffering from this at the moment. I've spoken to colleagues of mine working with the FBI, and it is their biggest single cyber-enabled crime at the moment in the US. Millions and millions of euros is going in every country. How do we solve it? You're dead right, we won't stop it. But we can educate our businesses and our people. And to remind businesses, this is not just a big business. They are targeting small furniture companies, shops, no matter what business you're in. If you can get €5,000 out of your business for nothing, it's a good day's work.
And
for
if these guys are doing it again and again and again and again.
Absolutely.
You know, and that business of even robbing a tenner from someone every month. And if you rob enough people, you've got a handy little income.
Well, as we say in our presentations, most of us, we do a lot of presentations to business. Like since Christmas, we've done five presentations. We've done a presentation at UCC in Cork. It was called Hacking the Human, because there has to be a human element in all of this.
Yeah.
The technology can only do so much for them. A human person has to make a mistake within your company or be pushed into.
But even checking your bank account to see if you have inadvertently signed up for a €10 standing order every
month,
you don't maybe notice it. But that's how Spotify and Netflix make their money. People spending small amounts of money every month.
Small amounts of money, and we see it time and time again. It's happened to every one of us where we've gone on a website, hit the wrong button, and lo and behold, you're charged €10. Education is the way forward, and we're working very hard this year to try and educate companies and businesses right throughout the country.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. Detective Chief Superintendent Pat Lorden, who's the head of the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau, thank you very much for joining us in
Thanks
studio.
Very much.